This is The Session, a weekly preview of the policy brewing inside the 67th session of the Montana Legislature. I'm Kevin Trevelin. I cover the State House for Yellowstone Public Radio, and I'm a Report for America fellow.
I'm Shaylee Rager. I cover the State House for Montana Public Radio.
I'm Eric Dietrich. I cover the State House for Montana Free Press.
And I'm Mara Silvers. I also cover the State House for Montana Free Press.
It's week 12 of the session. 1,183 bills have been introduced, 60 have been signed into law. This week we're watching budgets, more budgets, recreational marijuana, and bills that would carry big impacts for LGBTQ folks. We expect to see movement on the recreational marijuana bill this week, right, Shaylee?
Yeah, so I've seen a draft of the recreational marijuana bill, but to be clear, it hasn't been introduced yet, and it could be amended before that happens. We're not expecting to see the final draft of this bill until the end of this week at the earliest. So the bill is meant to be all-encompassing, meaning it contains both the regulatory framework for legalization and an outline of how the state will spend revenue made on taxing sales of the substance. So as the bill draft stands now, it puts caps on how much THC recreational marijuana products can have, how much an individual can possess at a time, and it would also put a ban on growing marijuana at home. The bill would allocate $6 million of the tax revenue to a fund for addiction treatment and prevention that Governor Greg Gianforte asked for. Then 12% would go to funds for state parks, trails, and wildlife. And finally, the rest would go to the general fund, the largest pot of money that lawmakers get to allocate.
And this all started with an initiative that voters passed last year, I-190, right?
That's right. Yeah. So Initiative 190 appeared on the ballot last November, and that's what legalized recreational marijuana. And the language of Initiative 190 said that the majority of revenue would go towards paying for conservation programs like conservation easements. And so we saw the Montana Wildlife Federation organize a protest at the Capitol last week. They're advocating for legislators to stick to this funding formula. They're upset that the draft policy that we've seen would only allocate a small chunk of the revenue to conservation programs. So we're already seeing some friction here about how the money should be spent. I should note, though, that the legislature is not required to follow the language of the referendum. It's very clear in state law that referendums cannot appropriate money, and that power lies with the legislature.
So it sounds like we could see a lot of differing views on how this money should be spent.
Yeah, so recreational marijuana is expected to bring in up to $52 million per year in state revenue, and I think lawmakers will have really varying priorities on where that money should go. So one way I think that'll play out is through House Bill 621. I'll be watching that bill in the House Taxation Committee this week, and it would require that tribes in Montana receive 8.4% of the annual revenue that recreational marijuana brings in. Democratic Representative Jonathan Windyboy, who's Chippewa Cree and from Box Elder, is a longtime legislator and is carrying the bill. He said he wants tribes to get a piece of the very large revenue pie that recreational marijuana will create.
We are a population that's always, we're always getting left out.
Windyboy said he thinks the bill will be tabled, that it won't get very much support. But he said he wants to make the point that although tribes are sovereign nations, they are Montana residents as well, and he wants them to benefit from this revenue.
Meanwhile, on the House floor, we're finally seeing House Bill 2, right, Eric?
We are, yeah. That's the primary state budget bill. It's heading out for debate on the House floor for the first time. The lawmakers that are assigned to the appropriation committees, the kind of that wonky side of the legislature, spent the first half of the session hammering out details of that bill. But this will be the first opportunity where we get to see how the whole body votes on amendments on that when it comes up. So we're expected to see some contested decisions play out there that'll kind of be the first time we've had official votes for the whole House on some of the values questions that come up as people are putting budgets together.
What sort of topics have been up for debate?
Yeah, so in committee so far, we've seen disagreements over particularly portions of the Health and Human Services budget, where typically Republicans want to control costs and Democrats often want to invest in stronger programs. There's also been debate over some education measures. For example, some right-wing Republicans wanted to strip out several $100,000 for need-based college scholarships. They were arguing that funding is duplicative with other programs. However, comparatively moderate Republicans and Democrats had the votes to resist that change. So that money is still in the budget. though it'll probably come up for debate again this week.
And the budget process starts off with a recommendation from the governor. How does the current legislative proposal compare?
It's slightly lower. Gianforte had asked for $12.8 billion in spending over 2 years, and the current draft of the budget bill totals $12.6 billion. There are several things in there that make up that difference. It's a lot of small things added together for the most part. One piece of it, for example, is that the governor had requested funding for two new state judges, one in Bozeman and one in Kalispell. The current version of that, though, includes only the Bozeman judge. But again, that could change as things move forward. The way the process works is that lawmakers will have a chance to bring budget amendments up for votes on the House floor, and then once they're done doing that, then the body will take an overall vote in the budget bill. Assuming it passes, then the measure will head on to the Senate for further debate.
So the budget has a lot of moving pieces, but we also know that lawmakers are looking at a huge pot of money coming in from the federal government from the American Rescue Plan Act. Kevin, can you talk me through where we're at with those discussions?
Montana is expected to get around $3 billion, that's billion with a B, from the latest round of coronavirus relief. A lot of that money will come with pretty tight spending restrictions from the feds or won't give the legislature any power to appropriate at all. But lawmakers will still have around $910 million to appropriate, which is creating a bit of chaos at the Capitol. A handful of subcommittees presented spending recommendations to the legislators who typically take point on budget matters last week, and a lot of attention went to infrastructure. Spending lists include projects already attached to existing bills where lawmakers think they can substitute federal dollars to save state money. They detail proposals from the governor's office and stuff from subcommittee lawmakers who have been getting stopped in hallways to hear about pet projects from their colleagues.
What kind of projects are lawmakers prioritizing with the stimulus money?
Because of the size of this relief bill and the limited restrictions on a lot of the funds, lawmakers are calling this a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity or the most consequential legislation they'll work on over their careers. So individual lawmakers are pushing ideas to fill what they see as long-standing gaps in Montana, like childcare access. Then there's also broad bipartisan consensus on water projects, for example, like overhauling the St. Mary's Canal in northern Montana, which collapsed last year.
It's also looking like lawmakers are going to allocate money for broadband expansion. The current price tag there is $350 million.
So it seems like there's a lot of moving parts with all of this.
There is, and it's made even more complicated by the lack of guidance from the federal government on how this money can actually be spent. Lawmakers were constantly asking agency and legal staff whether they could use money for certain purposes as they were crafting spending recommendations last week, and in many cases they had to make decisions kind of blindly. So they expect to have to add and remove a lot of projects as they get more rules from the federal government in coming weeks. For now, though, the subcommittee recommendations I mentioned earlier are being mushed into massive legislation nicknamed the Beast by lawmakers, which the House Appropriations Committee will consider this week. Representative Lou Jones, one of the Capitol's budget experts, said lawmakers may not get the relief bill right on the first try.
This is a little uglier process, but I think it's the best we got in the 2 weeks we have to work on it on the House side.
The 2 weeks mentioned there corresponds with an April 1st legislative deadline for the House to pass the relief bill over to the Senate. As lawmakers hash all of this out, it's also important to keep in mind the latest federal stimulus doesn't include some of the tight deadlines that came with the earlier bill. That means lawmakers could be appropriating some of these dollars next legislative session in 2023. As Kurt Almy, budget director in the governor's office, said last week, lawmakers will probably try to avoid a sugar high with all this money available.
So even with all this budget stuff in the mix right now, there's still policy debates in the building, particularly around LGBTQ issues, aren't there, Mara?
Right. So last week, we saw a couple of hearings on bills that have been out of the spotlight for a while. The ban on trans women and young girls competing on women's sports teams, and the ban on gender-affirming surgeries for minors. After a marathon hearing in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee last week, both of those bills were passed along party lines. And I think it's worth saying that Republicans on the committee did not budge, even though the coalition fighting those bills has gotten much larger over the last couple of months. So we heard opposition from Montana's university system, students, business owners, and major medical associations. The Montana High Tech Business Alliance, which Governor Gianforte founded and is still a member of, has also compiled a list of reasons why they think these bills would be harmful for the state's growing tech industry. basically saying that policy that discriminates against LGBTQ people is bad for business in the state.
So there's mounting opposition over these bills. How are the supporters responding to that?
Yeah, so proponents have really continued with their same arguments. They say that transgender women and girls who were assigned male at birth have an unfair advantage in competitions against cisgender women, even though opponents say those are highly nuanced and individual situations, and there aren't that many transgender female athletes to begin with. And as for the medical ban, proponents say young people shouldn't be making medical decisions like that before they turn 18. Opponents will point out that these are careful and deliberate medical choices made with parents, many medical providers, and mental health specialists as well, and in some situations can be life-saving for youth who are struggling with gender dysphoria.
Has the governor said where he stands on these bills?
Yeah, so Gianforte has already said that he'll support one of the bills LGBTQ activists are fighting, which is the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. When it comes to the other two bills that I mentioned, his spokeswoman told me that the governor will carefully consider any bill that the legislature sends to his desk, but he hasn't specifically come out in support or opposition. So all of those bills are expected to come up for floor debates this week, and if they pass, they will head to Gianforte's desk.
And before we go, lawmakers extended their calendar to May 11th in case they need extra days to finish appropriating federal coronavirus relief, and a bill expanding the governor's power to appoint judges hit a legal challenge within 24 hours from some of the people who crafted that section of the state constitution. Shaylee, Mara, Eric, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
It's been great.
This has been The Session, a weekly preview of the action at the Montana State House during the 2021 legislative session. From Montana Free Press, Montana Public Radio, and Yellowstone Public Radio, thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Nikki Ouellette. I produce every other episode of The Session, and I'm also the news director at Yellowstone Public Radio. If you like what you've been hearing this season, we'd love to hear from you. Please leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts and let your friends know about the show. Thanks.